Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
We're back. We love you all so much. After a long day, I just got back from shooting, like, not literally shooting, like filming, for what? 9 hours, 8 hours, and hopped right solid on the pod. Day. Zach, you just finished your job, and then you started your second job, which was taking care of the little munchkin over there. As you prepare to, I see moving boxes everywhere. Is the move imminent at this point?
The move is imminent. The move is actually, unless we get like a last minute delay, it will be not this weekend, but next weekend. So, oh wow, God, about a week from today, I should have the walkthrough, and then it's the estimated close date is the 23rd of this month. So,
okay,
I may be having a super busy weekend next week, and we'll see.
Congratulations, man! Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm excited.
I know we're a little delayed on recording this part 8 of Masters of the Air. This is part 8 at this point.
Yes. And the penultimate episode. There we go.
I'm using 9 is the last one, huh?
9 is the season finale.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hey, we're here with you late, but still in time because it drops in 2 days, the finale. So we got you covered here with a nice one. And I got to say, episode 8, the best one of the season so far, in my opinion. I mean, at least my personal take is I really thoroughly enjoyed it. So much going on. We get the Tuskegee Airmen introduced. We get this kind of arc of Crosby that is turned into this badass navigator where he's plotted like 200 missions. We find out that he was just central to the plans on D-Day of the invasion of Europe by the West, right? By America, by the Allied nations. Mm-hmm. We get this interesting crossing of stories with the Tuskegee Airmen and Buck and Bucky, who are on their 8th month in Stalag Luft 3, I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
And just overall a ton. And we find out that Westgate, A.M. Westgate, a.k.a. Sandra, is a spy for the Brits, and she's not a German spy. So I think I won,
you won
another
you
bet.
You won that vote. Yeah, you won that one, I guess.
What'd you think of the episode, Zach?
I really liked it. I wish that we got a little bit more of Anne Westgate. Like, her role was like,
yes,
I didn't catch a lot of it. And I don't think it was just me not paying attention. I was paying attention to the episode. It's just, I didn't get as much as I was hoping for it. So I'm hoping that her character plays a bigger role in the next episode, being the season finale or the series finale, I should say. Mm-hmm. But I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. Like, I feel like we're going to have a few characters with loose ends. And not in the way that we lead into like a, you know, like season two. This is our understanding is this is a one season thing. But yeah, I like the episode. I love the crossover. I'm looking forward to the season finale, man. This show has become one of those shows where every episode you just like, you can't take your eyes off the screen. And it's not because it's confusing and you'll be lost. It's just, it's exciting. There's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Me too. And I was shocked when you told me this was the penultimate episode, because it does feel like there's so much that still needs to occur in episode 10. However, I did enjoy certain aspects of the episode, right? I mean, we saw, for example, like at first I was like, oh, we didn't get any D-Day. We didn't get any D-Day mission. But in the grander scope, like if I zoomed out and looked at this show through kind of like making it one part of many different parts, right, of a big story, I feel like we could treat this show in the same line that, you know, we didn't get D-Day, right? We didn't get the storming of Normandy in this episode. At least on screen, we didn't get it, right? Because Crosby sleeps through it, so we don't get to see it. But we do get it in Saving Private Ryan. So I feel like
we do.
World War II is to be experienced through cinema, through different movies. You get me? Different stories are told by different movies. And maybe it's kind of Spielberg's group's way of saying like, hey, we've got a lot of this covered in other areas. We didn't think it necessary to dump the budget here when we went all out. You know, and to be honest, the storming of the beach and Saving Private Ryan is unrivaled.
Oh, it's like you cannot top that. I mean, yeah. that movie, I literally, again, I think I mentioned it last episode, I just watched it. Mm-hmm. I thought I hadn't seen it until I started watching it. I'm like, I've seen this before. It had just been so long. But no, that movie was incredible. And you're right. Like, it's very interesting having watched, you know, like Band of Brothers and now Masters of the Air, and recently watching Saving Private Ryan. Like, everything feels in this weird way very interconnected. But I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's all really like small chapters, if you will, of one really big story. And World War One and World War Two were both freaking huge. I mean, they were both world wars. There's a lot to say. So like I feel like we would be carrying on a show so long if we were to like go through everything. And I just don't think you could tell the story that way. I feel like it would be very, very difficult to try and like give all of these very like heartfelt, I guess, stories in a way where it's I guess a very like intimate story. You're really following you know, a character through something real that happened. I don't think it would be as impactful if you like told the story from this macro perspective. It'd feel more like a history lesson.
Yeah, I mean, you could take a bunch of movies, like you could add Dunkirk to the list of just another story that's told about World War II. And just go on to the list. Kind of, you know, it would be awesome. There's an F1 Formula One journalist. I think his name is Will Buxton. He's also a Beatles fanatic. And what he did was he created, you know, the Beatles broke up. If anybody's a Beatles fan out there, you know, the Beatles broke up. They didn't do an album after. I forget which one it out. Was it the White Album was the last album?
I feel like it was the White Album.
Or Abbey Road. But either way, they had a final album. And what he did was he created an album called, I think it was called like the Black Album or something like that. And what he did was he did like a compendium of all of the solo songs of each individual Beatle that sounded like a Beatles song. And he created this playlist on Spotify. I think it's called the Black Album, if I'm not mistaken. And it's pretty badass. And he's spot on. Like when you listen to it, you can hear the songs of Lennon and McCartney that feel more Beatles-esque. George Harrison, Ringo. And he puts them all in this playlist. And it's insane. It's the album that he feels would have come out if they had stayed together. Exactly. That's cool. So I would love to do something like that, but for World War II movies and shows, like where you just do like a catalog of all the different stories of World War II, and you put like Schindler's List in there, and you put the movie Defiant.
Show how everything's connected.
And make it like kind of chronological and kind of like at the same time spread out. And we just make a giant playlist of these movies and TV shows. That would be insane.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be dope. And speaking for the more like of how these stories can't be summed up in such a short period of time, I would be in for a Westgate spinoff miniseries, like a 5-7 episode thing where we see her journey as a spy for the Brits. I feel like that would be a fascinating Apple TV spinoff show, in my opinion.
I think that would be really cool, actually. I don't think it would be annoying. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it would be annoying. I think it would be a really cool show. When I said annoying, I was thinking like, man, I would hate to have like every series like that be like, let's say there's an AM Westgate show, and then like partway through that, you get an introduction to a character, and it's like, all right, there's going to be another spinoff. That would get a little old. Also, I do have to make a correction so that all of the music fanatics that rolled their eyes at us don't get mad. It was Abbey Road that was the final album.
Okay. It was my second guess.
We love the Beatles. It's just, I mean, come on. I don't know what the last album was.
Yeah, man. All right, let's get to the episode here. We get introduced to Alexander Jefferson and Lieutenant Macon, who are the pretty much like our main characters of the Tuskegee Airmen. These guys, we catch up with them on June 1st, 1944. They're in Rome, Italy. They're just celebrating their 500th mission as a group. Mm-hmm. And they're still, according to Alexander in this episode, they haven't gotten into the heavy action. But that all changes when they get put in the P-51s and they're sent on this cross Europe crazy mission that was pretty much supposed to take up all of their gas tank. Like, there wasn't even a plan really for them to return back to the base. Yeah. They give them IDs, and all the guys in the room kind of like you know, they kind of, well, what's the word I'm looking for? They're given these IDs to blend in with the people, and they all laugh because they're all black and they're gonna have to fit in freaking Nazi Germany. So they're all laughing like, yeah, we're gonna fit in, all
right. We'll fit right in, yeah.
Which makes it even more admirable. I did write a side note a couple times in this episode that this is truly the greatest generation that's ever existed. You know, these guys, Rosie announces on his base that it's the beginning of the invasion of Europe, and these guys don't stay silent. They're cheering, like they're ready to go. You know, this is just a generation that was ready to stand up for, you know, moral, good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Putting their life on the line. I'm sure there's still plenty of people that would do that nowadays, but I just don't feel like that's the culture that we have, right? Like Yeah.
Yeah. We don't celebrate there's no patriotism is so rare, at least maybe in our area, it's rare. In South Florida, it's rare to see patriotism, a love of country. You see pockets of it. You see certain people, but more often than not, the most vocal thing you hear nowadays is people who are kind of ashamed of their country rather than that are patriotic about it or that love their country. You know, so it's just one of those things where you see these men who had no interest in this war. I mean, America has a moat. And I understand that the Japanese provoked us at Pearl Harbor, but these guys are fighting in Europe. They're not fighting in Japan, right?
Yeah.
These men are all standing up for countries that are being invaded by you know, as Westgate said, Hitler and his, what did she say? And his goons that decided one day that they should rule the world or something like that.
Something along those lines, yes.
So you see that patriotism from the Tuskegee Airmen. They even mentioned the Red Tails at one point because you can see their planes that have the Red Tails, which is another movie that can be added to the World War II compendium. If anybody out there wants to make that list, that by all means, knock yourself out. but yeah, we get introduced to those guys. And then we also catch up with Buck and Bucky. Bucky's having a harder time in this Stalag than Buck seems to be. Why? Because Bucky wants to make a move, and he is right. And they do end up ultimately deciding to try to make a move and planning for this breakout. But he is kind of having a tantrum in this place, and you can't really blame him either. He's just losing it in there, man.
Yeah.
So maybe he's changed his mind from last episode when he was like, I don't even know if I want to get out of here. I didn't have anything lined up back at home. I think now he's kind of come to his senses and knows he has more to live for.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how anybody could, you know, want to stay. I mean, I get not wanting to die, right? Don't run away, don't get shot and killed, but man, that's not a place I would want to stay. He's got to come around. No. whether it's by his own will or not, I don't know.
Buck does seem to be the definitive leader of this bunch. Does not seem to be Bucky though. Buck is definitely the ringleader of these men, at least of the eighth cabin in this place. And once they start to see that America, Russia has Germany on their back, on their back heel, right? That they're having to fight a war on two fronts now. It's at that point where these guys are like, we got to get out of here now. And they plan this escape to, you know, create weapons. And that's when we see Alex and Macon come into play, where they need two white drivers who can blend in to get them out of there. And you have Alex Jefferson, who's the pretty apparently really good at mapping, and these guys are all just kind of on there. Yeah, they've been spending the 8 months productively, like studying the lay of the land, because it's not just escaping the Stalag, it's how did you get out of Germany alive without getting killed in the process.
Yeah, that's just one step, is getting out of the Stalag. I don't quite know how far, like, deep into Germany they are either. I would imagine they're pretty deep in there. Well, I mean, they did get transported to Nuremberg, right?
Nuremberg, did they?
I think so. Did they not?
I don't remember. I don't recall that. I just remember them being in Stalag.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That may have been part of the trailer that always sneaks up at the end of this.
Yeah.
So they are. Yeah, we'll see.
My favorite part of the episode, and maybe it's because we grew up, like, I think a lot of people's first introduction to World War II is D-Day. You know, was D-Day, right? In terms of history and like the events that stand out the most, D-Day is what comes to the top of the list for, at least for me, it does, right? My favorite scene in the episode is Crosby detailing his 3 days where he's breaking down just like what these men went through to plan this mission, because it was 200 missions through land, air, and sea. And he had to plan the routes for all of them, all happening synchronously. And they kept on adding missions to his plate to the point where this guy was drinking coffee, taking pills, getting injected with stuff.
Oh my gosh, he just literally
crashed for 3 days. As we see, he just literally head to the pavement, crashes on the floor, and is awoken by Rosie about 3 days later, which kind of feels a little biblical. But
what a disappointing way to go, though. I mean, like all of that hard work, and then you find out you slept through it. I thought Rosie was like pulling his leg for a minute, like, yeah, man, you missed everything, because he was a little too like cheery with it, I guess. But
well, how could he not be? The way Rosie was making it sound was there was no opposition in the air, that they almost immediately took air control. Now, I don't know how accurate that is in terms of from what I understood from this episode, but it seemed to me that the mission was so well that it caught the Germans completely off guard. And they did not send any reinforcements up to the air. He said there wasn't a single Luftwaffe fighter in the sky.
You're right.
So that was crazy.
Impressive. Yeah.
It also does kind of put Crosby, it puts it like a perspective setter, right? Like, yes, he wanted to witness it, but at the same time, by falling asleep, it's almost like God saying, like, hey, this war is bigger than you and your routes. Like, you did your part, go get your rest. And it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of those things where, yes, like, I'm not saying it was about ego to want to see that. If you're invested in something, you want to be there for it. But it was one of those things where, like, this war is bigger than you. I know you were successful in it, but, you know, get over it. Don't be happy that it was a successful mission. He was kind of pouting that he didn't get to see it, and rather just put that aside, even though you couldn't witness it and feel it. You did what you had to do. You put your body and mind on the line to bring the boys home.
No, it's a good way to phrase it. I do get his perspective, though. Like, I would be a little bummed.
Of course.
Like, you can't not be. 100%. Do you think Crosby is going to make any sort of comeback for the next episode? I know he's being sent home, essentially, to take a break because he's overdone it here.
Well, Rosie goes from being the newbie on base to now being kind of the sage, the wise sage. And he tells him, like, you looking forward to seeing Gene? He kind of puts him in his place, like, hey, I know you had this little, you know, tryst over here with this girl. You had a little affair of yours with Westgate, but you got a wife at home, and you better sack up and get over there and kind of like leave this part of yourself over here. That's kind of what I got from Rosie.
Because
he's given him advice when Crosby's probably more senior than him in terms of years in the force.
Yeah, Rosie was kind of new on the block a few episodes ago, so.
Which feels like ages ago now.
Yeah, it's true. Though I think it was like, 4 episodes maybe that he's been in here.
Yeah. I would love to see Crosby come back in another episode.
Yeah.
In the final episode. Do we get it? I don't know.
It feels like him and
Westgate is unresolved, to be honest.
It does. It feels very unresolved. Like, I don't know if I would say that the letter was closure, really. I mean, but I kind of feel like it is a decent place to close the chapter for the story. Like, for them. I don't know that's as unresolved as I initially thought it was.
Unless, Westgate gets, like, a mission, right? In the middle of this.
Yeah, she gets a mission.
Could it be that in the escape of Bucky and the Tuskegee Airmen, that they run into Westgate and she helps them get across Germany into France? I don't know. I'm just spitballing stuff.
I don't know. Like, I feel like Westgate's story, like, I feel like her character and whatever involvement I would expect her to have in this story is unresolved. Yes. I think, you know, between Crosby and Westgate, that felt like there was enough of a resolution. Like, I don't feel like I need to see them both meet up and like say their farewells or anything like that. Like, it kind of was forced via the letter. She got pulled away at the last minute.
And he's going on leave for a month.
Yeah.
Unless we fast forward a month, because we fast forwarded months from the previous episode.
Yeah, this was told over a few months, like everything that went on in the lead up to D-Day and then after D-Day. Like, so there was multiple months that basically were covered within this episode, even though it didn't feel like it.
No, it doesn't. They did a really good job they've done a really good job of kind of progressing time. Yeah. Although I will say the guys in the Stalag look very well fed. I don't know if they were treated that well in the Stalag, but you would feel like they would be almost emaciated at this point, like 8 months in there. I figure it wasn't five-star treatment, you know?
Like, you would want your POWs to be, you know, kind of weak so there's not, like, an uprising or something, at least would be my guess, yeah.
Meanwhile, they're just letting them exercise in the yard every single day, feeding them, you know?
Yeah.
And none of them seem to be, in bad shape, you know?
Is very true. And while I do think, I agree with you, right, the show is doing a very good job with the time jumps and not making it feel like it's like, and 120 days later or something random like that.
And thank God, I will say though, like active narrator every episode.
Yeah. The only thing I would say that I don't feel like I'm getting enough of the sense of is like how long Buck and Bucky and everybody's actually in, this dialogue, Loof 3.
8 months.
It doesn't feel like it. Like, we don't really see a ton of development there. Progression. Like, there's not too much struggle. There was a little bit of struggle with the breakout like a couple episodes ago. But beyond that, right, like, there's not a lot of the sense of like, oh, we've been here forever. We've got to get out. It kind of feels like everybody made it their new home in some sort of way. Like, it's just the new norm.
I'm hoping that this is a skip forward in the next episode and maybe Crosby's back because these guys couldn't just launch their attack. They needed to wait a couple more months.
Yeah.
Unless we get a scene of Crosby, like from the movie American Sniper, where he's in the grocery store or he's like comes back home.
American Sniper.
With Bradley Cooper.
Ah.
And he comes back home and he just can't fit in. He has to go and do another tour or something like that.
Hmm.
And it's just because he literally just can't get the war out of his head.
So you want another Rosie story? I'm out. No, I'm coming back.
Oh, Crosby's not out for good anyways. He's in a non-combat position. He's coming back to just navigate the war. So he'll be back for sure. Just a matter of whether we see him again. Yeah, he does seem to be our narrator. So like in terms of not our narrator, but like our storyteller here, he's the one that we're getting this story through. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel like we need a reunion of Buck and Bucky returning to the base to see Cross?
I feel like we have to. And you know, the only thing that I guess one thing that kind of comes to mind that I'm hoping, how do I say this? I'm concerned that the last episode we're not going to have anybody like flying planes or something, right? Like the whole show is Masters of the Air. Like I kind of want to see Buck and Bucky get back in an airplane and do something
to get the hell out of Germany. They have to go on an air base and they get on.
Like steal a plane, steal a German plane or something, and just try it. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Steal it and get the hell out of Dodge. And don't get shot down by your own guys. Like that would be horrible.
Well, you almost knew immediately that the Tuskegee Airmen and Buck and Bucky were all going to team up to try to get out of there. So I'm assuming next episode will be the breakout, and that'll take up a lot of the episode, really. And then the rest will be what's going on base with Crosby and a little bit of Westgate tie up. Yeah. You sure this is the last episode coming up?
Episode 9 is the final episode of the series. But I mean, which is kind of interesting considering Band of Brothers was 10 episodes and the Pacific was 10 episodes, but this is a 9 episode series.
Maybe it'll be a long episode. Maybe it'll be like a really
That would
long
be nice. Yeah. That would be nice for long. I mean, there's a lot to kind of resolve still, I think, at this point. Yeah. I do think that we were probably going to end up with some sort of reunion on base. I don't know who all is going to make it to the reunion, but I would imagine we're going to have some sort of closure at the end of the show like that.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to add? I mean, we kind of really did a good job of summarizing and giving our takes on everything that happens in the episode.
Oof. I was gonna say that I was kind of surprised how like in the open everybody was training in the Stalag for their breakout. All right, you just smack someone across the face here, and then you stab them in the throat, and then push forward and rip it out. I'm like, all right, nobody's gonna walk in and just be like, "What are you guys doing with this big old knife?" Nah. Beyond that, there's not really anything else that I have to add. I think we covered everything very thoroughly.
Yeah. Me too. All right, let's get into some categories.
Let's do it. Let's go with our favorite character of the episode.
Man, I gotta say, I really like, it's a tie for me. It's almost between Macon and Rosie.
Macon and Rosie. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of like the Alexander Jefferson.
I liked him too.
Yeah.
I just think that Rosie and Macon are kind of like the sages, like the wisdom of the group, you know?
Yeah. How about favorite scene of the episode?
I also liked when Macon gives that mathematical breakdown of how many miles they're going. Yeah. And like, because the CEO is kind of
leaving that. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Felt so, very like a suicidal mission there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just saying, what's the favorite scene?
Crosby's freaking 3-day crash and burn session was my favorite scene by far.
Yeah. It is hard to top that. I would want to say seeing the mission where everybody was like flying through, but it was super short lived. Everybody, like, all the planes got shot down too quickly.
Operation Dragoon.
Yeah.
That's your favorite?
No. It's hard to top the Crosby one, man. It's really hard to top it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with that one.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Any lines that stood out to you in this one? Not a heavy line show for me, but what you got?
I got two. I got at the Tuskegee Air Base in Italy, Ramatelli Air Base. You have, I think, the CEO or one of the lieutenants says to Jefferson, he says, "Don't let smart be the enemy of happy," because he was pretty much kind of down, even though they were celebrating 500 missions. And then my favorite line of the episode was definitely Macon when he's getting interrogated by the Nazi, who's pretty much throwing the active race, like just the racial mistreatment in America at the time against black people.
Yeah.
Where he's saying, "Why do you fight for a country that treats you the way they treat you?" As if, you know, I don't know how much better treated he'd be in Germany. But but anyways, he says, you know, "I know what my country's shortcomings are, and I know they're trying to become who they say they are." I think that's just a pretty honorable statement. And he says, "When I get back home, man, I'm gonna help them get there faster.
A hell of a lot faster." Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's getting past the people who are the cause of this hate and division, and he's going to the actual principles of what America says we stand for, you know?
So, yeah. Yeah. Right? That is a really solid line. Yeah. That's a really good line. I suppose the only other category I'll throw out there is which position would you rather be in? Would you rather be in the Luft 3 or getting ready to go on another plane mission?
Well, I'm going to knock on wood just before I answer this question. Dude, an air mission for sure.
At this point, yeah, I would say an air mission.
Yeah. At this point, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, maybe period. At least because, I don't know.
Those B-17
missions at the beginning of the season with no fighter jets was crazy.
Oh, that was nuts. I mean, like half some of the missions, only half of the people would come back. There was one mission that we saw earlier in the season. Only one plane came back. I think that was Rosie's plane too, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's nuts. I feel like the guys on the ground had better luck. At least the way that it looks inside of the Stalag. But that's all I got, man.
Love it. All right, let's wrap it up, or let me do some housekeeping. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Story Archives. We hope you're enjoying this journey. We hope you're enjoying Masters of the Air. We hope we've been able to recommend some shows that maybe you didn't know about and that you're now watching because of us. But we hope you're enjoying the commentary alongside it. And check out our other series going on right now on Constellation on Apple TV. Great show. It's getting really good right now. Yeah. Episode just dropped tonight, actually. And then we're also dropping our Peaky Blinders series, which stars Cillian Murphy, who just won Best Actor at the Oscars Award on Sunday. Pretty much swept Oppenheimer. the entire award show. So check that out. We actually literally are the number one podcast for Peaky Blinders in the world. So yeah. Check that out.
That's awesome. Is that it? That's all the house cleaning?
That's it.
Oh, okay, cool. You watch anything new recently?
Been watching Tokyo Vice on HBO. I still need to record a season one wrap-up episode of that. I've been watching some of the Oscar movies. I started watching The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti. Great movie so far. Definitely my type of movie. I'm like halfway through it or a quarter way through it.
Yeah.
And what else? I feel like I watched something else, but I can't recall at the moment.
Okay. All right. I actually just watched the movie Gravity for the first time. Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. Great movie. Like that. That was
pretty good.
It was really
solid. It's been a while since I watched it.
I had never seen it. I was always like, do I really want to sit down and watch a movie about just two people floating in space or whatever? It was solid. It was very suspenseful. I liked it. But yeah, other than that, I'm gonna be moving on to my post Game of Thrones show, House of the Dragon.
Okay, my boy, get on it.
Yeah.
Get on it. Yep. All right.
Starting that shortly.
Let's do a Game of Thrones master recap episode soon. Let's do it.
We've gotta. We'll have to do that after I move.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be the first episode after you move.
Yeah. All right, I like cool. it. Let's do it. All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. You can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts, Apple and Spotify podcasts primarily. You can visit us on YouTube at Soapbox Podcast Network. Visit our website at soapbox.house. Email us at contact@soapbox.house. And we do have a link in the description below to sign up for our quarterly newsletter.
Awesome. Until next time, guys. Peace.